Breaking It Down with Frank McKay. This is 103.9 LI News Radio.
I'd like to welcome everyone to Breaking It Down. Frank McKay here. Wonderfully talented and versatile talent. Terry Nunn is our very special guest. You know her work probably best as the lead vocalist of Berlin. They're in the midst of a very successful tour, and they haven't collaborated except for 40 years ago and now. And on August 2nd of 2019, they released a wonderful album, Transcendent. Do I have that all right, Terry?
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, well, congratulations and on all the success, and the tour is going very well from what I understand. So congratulations on that and welcome.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it's our 40th anniversary this year.
Now,
who would have thunk it, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, it feels like yesterday when I heard Metro and actually you had a huge song in Top Gun, Take My Breath Away. And I think that's kind of solidified you guys in pop culture forever. And yeah, it's nice. Well, how does it feel getting back? I mean, was it weird? I mean, obviously it's different, but I mean, or was it an easy transition kind of all fitting back together?
I think the most surprising thing that I appreciate is how much more fun and better it is to write with John and David again, the original members of the band. You know, back when we were 20, you know, it was, we were just scared, you know, and we had a lot of ego, and you do when you're in your teens and 20s. You know, it pushes you forward and makes you try stuff, which we would never have done without all that fear and ego. But now, you know, it's just more relaxed and more fun, and we appreciate it more, and we appreciate each other more, and tell each other now where we never did then. I mean, it's just a different kind of experience to make music with them now.
You know, the difference, and I guess for better or worse, the difference between you guys when you were in your 20s and some of the success that you see, 20-year-olds have now, is that you are on TV constantly. You are, MTV was a monster situation. I try to explain to my kids that are in their early 20s and teens of what MTV was like and how everyone was watching it. You probably, you probably lost every bit of privacy while, you know, while the hits were out there. I could see you, I don't know, 10 times a day, you know, while the Metro, you know, when watching the Metro and watching MTV. It wasn't like it is now where you can kind of, I don't even know what some of these big stars look like, to be honest with you. But I certainly knew what Terry Nunn looked like, you know, and you were all over the TV. And that had to add to the complications of being in a band, I'm sure.
Well, it definitely added to the achievement and the success of the band, because we got lucky. I mean, when we started, MTV started, we got our first record deal with Geffen in 82, the end of 82. And it was 1983 that MTV started. And we didn't have internet in those days, Frank. So you know that you couldn't go see videos or bands anywhere. I mean, I was glued to Saturday Night Live, Don Kirshner's rock concert, Midnight Special. Do you remember those shows?
Sure.
I mean, that was like,
oh yeah, 100%. Yeah,
right. Exactly. Friday and Saturday night. That's all I watched, because that was the only time to see any bands, any music, live or video. And so when MTV started, you're right. I mean, everybody I knew was like, what? 24 hours of music? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
And Geffen was one of the only labels that actually gave us a budget for videos. The others, they made offers, but they said, oh, this video thing, it's not going to happen. It's not going to mean anything. We're not giving you money to make any videos. That's stupid. Well, Geffen said he would. And because MTV had 24 hours to fill, we were one of the only bands that had videos. So they played the crap out of videos. And that was great for us, because we were nothing. We had no hits yet. You know, we had songs and we had videos, and they just kept playing them. So you're right. You saw us 10 times a day because they didn't have a lot to play yet.
Yeah. Well, listen, maybe so, but you're also being modest there as well. And that's nice to hear. Frank McKay here. If you're just tuning in, Terry Nunn is our very special guest. Or if you're just turning on your radios a little late, she's the lead vocalist of Berlin. What a wonderful career. What a wonderful talent. she is, and I'm thrilled to have her. But again, you're being modest because you had good material. You really did. And there was a lot of, you know, there was a lot of stuff that MTV was playing, and I won't name them because some of them have been on the show, that, you know, it was unlistenable to me, and I would just kind of walk out of the, you know, that's when I'd go to the refrigerator or somewhere and make a phone call. Yeah, and the thing, but you guys sounded good. And I mean this respectfully, but you know, you were easy on the eyes, so you were nice to look at. But you have a background in acting, and you had put together a nice career in acting prior to this. And you were on a lot of episodic television shows and so forth. Yep. I'm sure this superseded all of that. This, as soon as Berlin hit and you guys took off, you probably weren't thinking about doing, you know, the auditions and all of that. Berlin right. kind of took over. Am I right?
Yeah. And it was really what many considered a very bad career move that made Berlin happen at all. Because, in my teens, I did episodics and one movie, strangely enough, that introduced me to Giorgio Moroder. Oh. Because the movie called Thank God It's Friday, where I was just an actress in it, he was debuting Donna Summer, who just came out at that time. This was 1977, I think, 76. And so I met him, and I was so excited to meet him because his music to me was God. Mm-hmm. And I was nothing to him. I was just a stupid little, you know, teenage actress. And hi, how are you? Bye. So who would have thunk it that 4 years later we'd have an Oscar together with Take My Breath Away? Yeah. You know, just how it swung around that way. But anyway, so the bad move, or what others considered a very bad move on my part, was there was do you remember the TV show Dallas?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So for some reason, the casting director knew me already, and she talked the producers into just offering me the role of Lucy in the show.
Charlene Tilton, right? And it was Charlene.
Yeah, that Charlene Tilton took later. Yeah, I without even an audition, I just walked into this meeting and they said, okay, here's a show. It's a series. Here's a 7-year contract. You got to sign it. You know, stupid money. And do you want to do it? And I just thought, whoa, I really want to try this music thing. I mean, I don't know if I'm talented. I don't know if I get anywhere. But if I sign this contract, I'm never going to be a musician. Because if it's successful, I'm stuck for 7 years, which it was, by the way. So I went home to my mom and I said, Mom, I don't know. I don't know if I'll do anything, but I want to try this music thing. And she said, Terry, you're going to regret it if you never try. So turn it down.
Yeah.
And I went back to my agent and he said, are you out of your mind? This is the best deal you're ever going to get. I don't know why I'm working with you. Goodbye. And he dropped me. Mm. And so I had nothing at that point. And so I started looking around for some situations, for some bands, for some people to work with, to play with. And I met John that year.
Wow. How long before you got a deal between turning down the role of Lucy and Dallas?
Literally, this is our 40-year anniversary. So I met John in 1979, and it was 1982 that we signed with Kiff.
Yeah, that's an eternity after watching that. When Dallas came on and started, I'm pretty sure it took off right away, right? I mean, it was a big hit.
Yeah, it was huge.
Yeah, I mean, was it torturous for you watching
that? No. I didn't want that. I wanted to be this. Yeah. I wanted this. This was my real dream. I was fortunate to get some work in television, and it taught me a lot. It taught me how to focus emotion into a few minutes. And with a song, it's even shorter. It's like 3 minutes, you know, to focus an honest emotion into that time, because you've got to communicate the song, you know, and television taught me how to do that with a scene, with a script, with how to bring something honest to a piece of work right when it's needed.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, you have guts and you have integrity, that's for sure. And you didn't have an agent after that, but you had guts and integrity. But anyway, it's just congratulations on the decision, too. You know, I mean, I'm sure a lot of people, you know, even now listen and say, oh, man, that was such a big show. But, yeah, I mean, you did what you wanted to do. You had huge success. And you had both. The fans loved you. And you had critics, you know, again, not that we care so much about the critics, the easiest thing in the world to be as a critic, but you got critical acclaim and your songs were credible. And that's a credit to all, you know, the three of you and you're back together. Let me remind everyone that Transcendent is the name of the new album. Everyone get it. Just wonderful stuff on there. And Berlin is the name of the band. Terry Nunn, the lead vocalist, again, very versatile artist. She's an actress and a singer and a wonderful performer. And 40 years, I tell you, she doesn't look a day older than 20 now. And she's in the midst with the other two folks in a very successful resurgence and a tour. And it's got to be exciting, tiring, and a little bit of everything all wrapped up in one. But everybody get the album Frank McKay Here with Terry Nunn. Going back, if your mother gave you nice advice, she said, look, if you're not going to do this, if you don't do this now, you're going to regret not doing it. Did she ever regret giving you that advice when she saw?
Never. I mean, look at that. I mean, yeah, Dallas was a successful show, but I'm 40 years later in the same band.
Yeah.
You know, that's pretty incredible to me. I mean, it's like getting married, Frank. When I got married to my first husband, I wanted it to be forever. I wouldn't have married him, but it wasn't. That was 7 years. And my second marriage now is 21 years and going strong. And it's just a gift, really, because we want these things to go on and be wonderful and keep being creative and productive and fun and worth it. But we don't know, you know, so that Berlin has gone on this long and been this has mattered and been relevant for so long is really a huge gift to me, really.
You mentioned a couple things there. First of all, your marriage, congratulations on the 21 years and going strong.
Thank you.
The second time around for a lot of people, I mean, there's a lot. First of all, you choose maybe more wisely. You're a little older and wiser yourself. But I mean, can you compare that at all to the second time around with a band? I mean, is there similarities in at least the wisdom that comes with a little bit of time in between?
Yeah.
I mean, is it similar?
Yeah, I think the thing that time gives us that I really appreciate is more of a relaxation into, I mean, it took me about 30 years literally to think that I was a good singer. Mm. And now I get that because I'd be stupid to think that I would continue to have this career and be getting these shows and these opportunities without that. So that's there. There's a relaxing into that and more of a being able to come from contribution rather than from need, you know. Like in the beginning, it's like, I really want to make it and I really want to be successful. I need this. And now it's like, okay, well, that happened. So now what do I want to do with it? Who do I want to collaborate with? Now it's about collaboration for me because my family's taken care of, you know, we're always going to be okay. So for the rest of my days with what's left. And by the way, I was thinking about this last night because I just heard that Eddie Money was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer.
Yeah.
And we've done some shows with him. He's always been a nice guy.
Yeah, he's a good friend of mine.
God, Frank. I mean, just really pulls you up short, doesn't it? You just think, man, we really don't know how long we get to play here. And so, God, play as long as we can, you know? It's just, that's what it's all about. It's about that. Not about need, not about ego, not about any of it, just playing and collaborating and contributing, and that's what it's about.
Listen, you're right on, and it's nice to think that people are living to 100 now, but then you see Eddie Money, and you know there's nothing he could have done to avoid that. You know what he's got, and you could live till tomorrow, or you could live to 100, but you just don't know. There's no,
we don't know.
There's no way of knowing that. Let me ask you something else too. And before I do, I'll remind everyone, the lead vocalist of Berlin, wonderful performer and singer and everything else involved, actress as well. Terry Nunn is our very special guest. Frank McKay Here. If you're just turning on your radios a little late, Terry Nunn is celebrating 40 years. 40 years of an anniversary with Berlin, and her bandmates are out there. The original three are out there, and it's a great trio. And the new album, and the first one in 40 years, is Transcendent. And everyone can get that, I imagine, anywhere. You can get good albums, Amazon and everywhere else.
Yeah.
But again, Terry Nunn, is our very special guest. Let me ask you this, and maybe I'm misremembering this, but I remember hearing a while ago that you were up for the role in Star Wars for Princess Leia. Am I misremembering that?
No, you can see it on YouTube if you want.
No kidding. Are you, audition is on there?
Yeah, the audition is on there. Just put in Terry Nunn Star Wars audition, it'll come up.
No kidding. Wow.
Right there with Harrison Ford. We're sitting there in deck chairs and saying these lines.
No kidding.
And nobody, neither one of us knew what we were talking about. They hadn't created Darth Vader in RTD2. You know, it was just like, okay, let's try to make this meaningful. And so we're talking, you know, very, very seriously and you know, trying to be Princess Leia and he's... I don't know Star Wars that well. I'm sorry, but yeah. He's like the captain or he's the guy in charge, right?
No, well, he's big, iconic, Han Solo and all that.
Yeah. So he's trying to be that, and I'm trying to be Princess Leia, and it's hilarious.
You're royalty, just like you're playing royalty there. But I mean, are you thinking, what the hell are we doing? What is this thing? This thing's not going to last. This thing's not going to make it. I mean, did you have any thoughts on it? Were you giving it any thought? Or were you thinking that this, you know, who knows? Maybe this thing could be a big thing. What was your take when you're sitting there?
I had no idea. I just knew that George Lucas was a great guy because he kept bringing me back. And when he decided on Carrie Fisher to take it, he actually introduced me to Steven Spielberg. He introduced me to Brian De Palma. I mean, all those guys were, you know, the director's good old boys. And he was so kind to me. Actually, right about then was when I met John and started with Berlin. But Steven Spielberg came and offered the role of in Indiana Jones, which I couldn't do because we were going off on tour on the first Berlin tour. But that was all because of George Lucas. He was, what a guy. I mean, just so kind and so giving and so, yeah, I knew it would be successful because of him.
Where did you run into him? Was it just at the audition or did you know him beforehand?
No, I met him at the audition.
No, well,
never met him before.
Listen, he's got an eye for talent. I mean, he knew, you know, you had star quality and, you know, I mean, all the others that he picked out, I mean, obviously had, you know, look at American Graffiti. And everyone who kind of launched off of that, I mean, just
right?
Richard Dreyfuss and, you know, crazy. But think about it. I don't think most people who know you and even have you, you know, loaded on their iPod all over it. And I shouldn't say you, but Berlin and everyone, you know, the other guys as well. You know, we're kind of mentioning, I'm mentioning them as afterthoughts. They're really talented guys, John, and you know, just everything that you guys have been doing together. Is great, but think about all of the people that listen to your music. None of them, or most of them, have no idea that you had this world before as an actress, and you had these opportunities. Look, Carrie Fisher, the late great Carrie Fisher, right? She iconic and still that lasted a long, long time. But Charlene Tilton, and I'm, this isn't disparaging her or whatever. I don't remember the last thing I saw her in. I mean, she was so recognized in that role as Lucy. I don't know that she didn't kind of get typecast and then just never got out of it. So again, and you know, she had a wonderful career as Lucy. But a lot of people don't know that you have this other side to you. And again, Terry Nunn is our very special guest, Berlin lead vocalist and just wonderful performer. Frank McKay here with Terry Nunn of Berlin. Do you have aspirations to do anything else musically, artistically, that you haven't done? Is there anything that you're kind of thinking, boy, I really would like to do this? And you mentioned that you're set. You don't have to, you know, you don't have to chase a paycheck and you don't have to do that.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you really want to do that you just haven't done yet?
Oh, sure. God, lots of stuff, especially collaboration with other amazing artists like Trent Reznor, like Lord, Sia, Rihanna. There's just so many great people out there making music that when the opportunity comes to collaborate, it's wonderful. You know, which record was that? Was it the solo record? No, it was a Berlin record about 12 years ago. I reached out to Billy Corgan and we did a song together. It was mainly my ode to Michael Hutchins, who I met and dated for a short time back in, God, 19, I think that was the second or no, third album. No, no, it wasn't. It was the second album. And he and INXS came out to England for the first time. And we had the same record label, Polygram, over there. So a rep said, hey, you want to go see this band in this club? And I said, yeah, I would love to. And so we all went out there and saw him and INXS and blew me away. Absolutely, to this day, one of the greatest performers I've ever seen. And it inspired and influenced me as a performer as well. And anyway, so Billy Corgan had already written a song for Michael. And when we got together, I had started the song and he loved it. So we worked together. So it's like a collaboration like that. It's so, I don't know how to say this, but those things when they happen, when it just turns out that the schedules work and the interest is there, it's so exciting, you know?
Yeah.
It's all about collaboration in music for me.
Yeah, well, listen, you've made a lot of good choices. You've made a lot of good music. We'll be back after this.
Breaking It Down with Frank McKay. This is 103.9 LI News Radio.
I'd like to welcome everyone to Breaking It Down. Frank McKay here. Wonderfully talented and versatile talent. Terry Nunn is our very special guest. You know her work probably best as the lead vocalist of Berlin. They're in the midst of a very successful tour, and they haven't collaborated except for 40 years ago and now. And on August 2nd of 2019, they released a wonderful album, Transcendent. The one thing I'm always curious about, and again, we talked about the exposure that you got on constant MTV, 24 hours a day, you could be, you know, coming up and, you know, it's not even like a sitcom, where, you know, maybe you come up once a day or you run into this or whatever. I mean, back then it was constant and never ending and people just had MTV on all the time. Did you lose your privacy right away? I mean, was it the Metro? I mean, what was it that happened? Well, when did it happen where you really couldn't do your own shopping? Or am I misreading that? Was there a time period there where it was really hard to just go get a pair of shoes or a little bit?
I mean, it was hard because it wasn't awful, but I still remember this guy. I was in some store, obviously getting groceries or something, and he said, "Wow, Terry Nunn, you look a lot better in your pictures."
Oh, terrible, terrible.
You know, because you got to go out and look like something. Otherwise, you're representing this brand called Terry Nunn or Berlin or whatever, and you just don't feel like it that day. You just feel like being in freaking sweats and you know, a baseball cap, whatever. So, yeah, that is a little difficult, but it comes with the territory.
Well, think about it this way, and in so many ways, and again, Terry Nunn from Berlin is our very special guest. Thrilled to have her. The very talented lady who's put together just a wonderful career, and 40 years after the original collaboration, Transcendent is the name of the new album. Everyone's got to get it. They're in the midst of a wonderfully successful tour, and thrilled to have Terry Nunn here, Frank McKay, with Terry right now. Let me ask you this. And again, when you talk about a guy walking up to you and saying something rude like that, just imagine if your life back then, you know, with all the success and all the notoriety and all the recognition was happening now with everyone having, video cameras on there and regular cameras on their phones and mm-hmm. everything here. Think of what life might have been like rather than that one guy just, you know, and I'm sure there's a whole bunch of guys just walking up to you and saying stupid things, people taking pictures of you and you at your worst, maybe you slip on some ice and you fall down or you have some embarrassing little thing and you're all over the place. In some ways you were blessed by timing in a big way. MTV came around when you guys were maturing as a band and, you know, again, you modestly said, you know, you were one of the few bands with videos, but you had a lot going for you other than that. But you're coming around and maturing as MTV is maturing and it takes off. So, I mean, that's a great bit of timing, but also the fact that you didn't have to deal with this. You didn't have to deal with every guy's a paparazzi or every gal mm-hmm. is a, paparazzi. Imagine what life would have been like now. And how do you think you would have liked that?
Well, I do deal with that now because everybody does have video cameras and phones, and they're videotaping everything, you know, while we're playing. There's all kinds of stuff. And when you say, yeah, they could have videotaped you falling on ice, I think there's a number of things on YouTube of me falling. I remember seeing one of them. It was one of those revolving stages. And I started spinning around like I do in one of the songs. And that was a mistake because the stage was spinning too. And I got so dizzy, I literally fell over.
Wow.
I wasn't drunk. I don't ever drink or do anything before a show because I want to be present, and I'm running around and I'm dancing. So I have to be present, but I just blew it. I fell over. Yeah. And there's a number of renditions of that on YouTube of things over the years. So yeah, it's just part of the job.
Let me ask you this too. Is it part of a fraternity or a sorority, whatever you want to call it? I know you guys played some shows with the B-52s, but there's a lot of bands out of that quote unquote, and I hate labels, but new wave era. You bump into people, and is it kind of like an old college friends or whatever? Do you have that kind of camaraderie with folks that was labeled the same way with the new label, new wave?
I'm honored to say that I have that now with the B-52s. My respect for them is massive. I still remember watching them on Saturday Night Live. I was sitting there, you know, glued as usual to the show. And they came on, and Kate with her big red beehive hairdo, and she's standing behind a keyboard, and she starts the song. And I was like, what is this? I couldn't believe it. I can't put them in new wave. They weren't anything like anyone else.
Yeah.
And that's what I respect, is it takes a lot of balls to be completely unique and not like anyone else. It's because it's scary that people don't get it. And there aren't many bands that take that risk. Pink Floyd is another one where they don't sound like anybody at the time. So they can never be placed in any era because they're completely different in that era that they were in. So that to me is what the B-52s are. And the first time that we got to play with them, I was lucky enough to sit Fred down. Who was with me? I think it was Fred and Kate. And after the show, they weren't heading anywhere immediately. And so we just sat down and had a glass of wine and talked about it. I said, what was it like for you? And Fred told me the story of, you know, what their band is like and how it works and how scary it was. And wow. So getting this tour with the B-52s is absolutely huge for me to be on the same stage with them for this long. We're doing 32 cities in America, and OMD, another one. You know, they were one of the first electronic bands in the world, Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark. And they're also on the tour. So yeah, it's a big wow.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this, and you know, I don't want to keep you too long. I know you're in the midst of a tour and busy, but I appreciate you. And I'll remind everyone, Terry Nunn is our very special guest, lead vocalist from Berlin. Transcendent is the name of the new album. Everyone's got to get it and check him out on stage. Check him out live. If you have the good fortune of going somewhere where they're going to be and living somewhere where they're going to be, but they're terrific live, and you can check them out all over YouTube and in places like that. They're terrific. Terry Nunn, lead vocalist of Berlin, is our very special guest. Frank McKay here with Terry. But let me ask you this, and I'm not getting too personal here. I don't mean to be specific, but who are your friends? Are you friendly with people that, for the most part, have been in the spotlight, or are they people, a little mixture of everything? Is it people that you knew, you know, 30 years ago, 40 years ago? Is it new people? Who are your friends? Are they are the people that share a similar background as you?
Yeah, mostly not people in the business. My best friend, Lorraine, I've known for 48 years. We met, we were not even in high school yet. We were not even in middle school yet. We were kids. So, mostly not. mainly because people in my business are gone all the time. You know, they're just, yeah. if they're working, then there's a lot of travel. And I just accept, as we all do in the business, you know, there isn't going to be a lot of hangout time because we're gone a lot. I do have a lot of friends in the business because I've met so many, and some of them are just absolutely wonderful people. But I don't expect to see them all that much. You know, the friends that I see a lot are people who have regular jobs, or, you know, their kids are grown now, and so they have more time. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, yeah, there's a lot more of those people in my life just to be able to hang with, and they put up with the crazy schedule I have and don't hate me for it. So yeah. Well, I get to be friends with them. Yeah.
See, you know, I mean, it's one of the reasons I asked is to be friendly with somebody for 48 years, and that's 8 years before Berlin started. I mean, it's, first of all, it's got to be grounding. And second of all, she's like a witness to your personal history, and vice versa, you with her. And mm-hmm. And she has I would assume a home effect, where if something goes, if something goes different, she's seen you at your top, probably at your bottom, at all of these things. And I think there's something to be said. I mean, you have a marriage that's going strong after 21 years, and you got a friendship that's 48 years long and counting. And now you have a band that you're back together with after 40 years. It's there's something to be said for that kind of consistency. And it's not prevalent with a lot of folks. It either is or completely isn't. And there are a lot of folks that are in your position, a lot of performers that are in your position, who can't stand that kind of stability for whatever reason. I don't know why, but it's have you ever thought of it that way, or is it more you just kind of go with the flow and this is how it's worked out?
Yeah, I have a lot of gratitude for what you're talking about, the time, because nothing can give a relationship that kind of solidity and stability more than time and attention, especially time. And you're right. I mean, a lot of, how do I put this? Musicians, and I include myself in the statement, we tend to have social issues, and we use music to make a bridge to people, to connect, because it's difficult to connect in other ways. And music works. Music makes me feel safe with people. I admitted in my 40s finally that I was afraid of people. Mm. I never even admitted that to myself, but I realized in my 40s that I was. And I'm better now, but I also see with other musicians and myself that the way that I could connect was with music, was with something like that, something safe, something wonderful, something positive, and people would connect with me and it felt safe and I didn't feel as scared. So I feel, you know, a lot of musicians don't ever have deep relationships because that's a whole other discipline, Frank. You know, this is how idiotic I was in my 20s. I thought, well, if I'm successful enough and I make enough money, then everybody will love me and I'll have the best relationships in the world. No, that's not how it works. I'll have a lot of money and I'll have a lot of fame, but that doesn't make a relationship work. So that it took me a whole other set of skills to learn to even be married, you know, to learn how to be a partner and a friend and a mother. And all those things are completely different skill sets, and it takes time to learn them. So, you know, some musicians just don't make the time to learn them. They don't have the capacity to learn them. I don't know. But yeah, that's kind of what it's like in the music world.
Let me ask you something else, too. John and David, we've, you know, just barely touched on them. But one of them, and again, just forgive me for not being prepared at all, but one of them left the band early. And I don't know if it was just he was stressed
David
out.
Diamond.
Yeah, David, right, left the band early. And did that have to do with the kind of success all coming at once? And again, I'm not asking you to speak for him, but it's, you know, you were witness to this. I mean, is that something that, you know, a lot of folks that get hit with success early on, It's just, it's overwhelming to them. I mean,
for him, I can speak for him because he told me this. It's not a secret. For him, it was a huge problem with John Crawford, the founder of the band. And I understand what he was going through because I was going through it too. We were going through the same, you know, communication issues and ego issues and problems with each other. But I hung in there longer. I hung in there until I left in 1987 or 1988 after the third album tour. So yeah, David just couldn't handle it. You know, the fighting, the shutdowns that John would do with him, he couldn't take it and just said, I don't need this, and left and thought he could do a solo career instead. Well, that didn't happen. And he said more than once in interviews as well that this is his dream, that his biggest regret was not hanging in there and doing it longer and making more of it for himself. And now having this opportunity for him is massive.
Yeah, in some ways, it's a healing tour. And again, I don't want to be trite or over dramatic about
trite.
It. No, I think it is right. I mean, I think it's healing to, you know, all of you guys after 40 years. It's like, all right, listen, let's do this. I mean, the fans love you better together, right? I mean, it's magic
it.
There. There's chemistry there.
Yeah.
And again, I'll remind everyone that I'm speaking to Terry Nunn, lead vocalist from Berlin. You know their work from Take Your Breath Away. And by the way, just part of the huge success of Top Gun and the Metro. I mean, just a wonderful, wonderful career, wonderful music. Some of the album tracks are just terrific as well. And I've got them on my iPod and songs that, you know, that people probably never heard, but they should. And you really should get it. Transcendent is the new album. Everyone's got to get that. Frank McKay here for a couple moments longer with Terry Nunn, lead vocalist of Berlin. You mentioned being a mother. Are you, and I don't know if it's plural, children or child, are they into music? Are they into performing? What's the... What's the status on the entertainment business?
Okay, I have three kids. The boys are 27 and 24 and 27. They're out of the house, and our daughter is 14, and she's going into her second year of high school. And no, none of them are interested in music. They like listening to it, but they're not interested in being performers. They don't care. I am not cool at all. I'm just mom, unless. my daughter, if she can get something for it, then I'm cool for a minute. Like if one of her teachers knows Berlin or grew up with Berlin or likes one of our songs, oh yeah, that's my mom.
Yeah.
Then she gets stuff for it. And I was cool for a minute because when our album came out, we were number 6 on iTunes, right next to her favorite artist, Billie Eilish, right now.
Wow.
So seeing the pictures of us together, I was cool. I was cool that day.
I have a feeling they just don't. I'm the father of four, and I have a feeling, or at least I like to believe that we're cooler in their eyes than they let on. you got all those gold and platinum records behind you, and all these awards, and Top Gun is there, and Tom Cruise, you know, all of this. Your kids know who you are and they know what it is, but again, you're mom to them. It's laid back, but their friends make a big deal and they might not tell you, but I guarantee you that a lot of their friends or their friends' parents make a big deal. And again, look, I want to congratulate you on everything. You really put together an incredible career and still going strong. Transcendent is the name of the new album. Everyone's got to get it. Terry Nunn is the lead vocalist of Berlin, and she's been nice enough to spend a little bit of time on her tour with us. Frank McKay here with Terry Nunn. Anything you want to leave us with? Anything that that looks interesting for you in the future that might be possible that you're doing that you'd share with us, or is everything kind of hush-hush until it happens?
I just invite anybody who likes our music at all to come to a show, because for me, it's all about the concert. That's what I do it for. I'm not a studio guy. I don't like them. They're just man caves, you know, airless, windowless places. So the recording is something that I do really to connect with people so they can have something, but also to the shows are what I love the most. And we do an amazing show. It's a show. Yeah. It's visual. It's audio. It's just, and yeah, if you want to have a wonderful time, that's where I would say to connect.
You're a big part of that, John and David as well, but you're a huge part of that visual. And I'll tell you what, it's wonderful to talk to someone who does what they do very well, and to be doing it between 40 years and not losing a step as far as the talent goes is just is great as well. Terry Nunn, give us a website or a social media site where people could follow along with what you're doing.
Well, our Facebook and Twitter are Berlin Official Band, and I'm sorry, our Facebook and Instagram, and then Twitter is Real Terry Nunn, and our website is berlinpage.com, so you can find out where we are and what's going on, and hopefully we can see it. And come and play for you.
Yeah, well, I'll be there. I'll be at the New York show.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Our last show of the tour is September 24th in Central Park.
Yeah, well, that's the one I think I'm going to catch. Yeah, I was noticing that.
Oh, yeah. Nice
way to end a tour with Central Park, right? Wow.
I know, right? We've never played there before.
It's like Simon and Garfunkel or something. You know, it's
I'm so excited.
Way to go. Listen, congrats again, and thank you very much for being here. And have a great rest of the tour.
Thank you for having me on your show, Frank. I appreciate it.
Thrilled to have you. Terry Nunn, everyone, has been our very special guest. She's the lead vocalist for Berlin. Wonderful actress as well. I mean, she's had a career before Berlin, but now, 40 years later, Transcendent is the name of the album. Her, John, and David are together. And you've got to get it. It's dynamite. And everyone, check them out live. Terry Nunn has been our very special guest. Frank McKay signing off. We'll see you all next time on Breaking It Down.